The first reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, what if Christianity is not mainly about religion or rules or trying harder, but about learning to live in relationship with the living Christ? Shall we pray? Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, open our hearts to the living presence of Christ here among us. Draw us deeper into the Father's love and speak to us today. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking about this talk, I wondered what people out there might think of people like us in here. Perhaps many people out there think that being a Christian is quite hard work. You come to church every Sunday, you try to behave yourself as best you can, you feel guilty occasionally, don't forget that one, you sing hymns you only half know perhaps, and you try not to fall asleep during the sermon. Did you know, by the way, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, there was a man called Eutychus who was in a house as St. Paul was preaching. And he was sitting on the window ledge and he fell out the window. As he fell asleep, he dozed off and fell out of the window. And actually, he died. But then Paul raised him from the dead. I mean, I've heard of good sermon illustrations, but that is just another level, isn't it? It's amazing. So don't fall asleep during a sermon if you're sitting on a window ledge. That's the message from that. So people out there might think we just do lots of religious things. But in our reading, Jesus speaks about something much deeper than religion. He speaks about relationship. In verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus doesn't say, I'll leave you a moral code. I'll leave you a list of rules. He says, I will give you my Spirit. You see, the Christian life is not about following a God who is far off. In lots of other religions around the world, they worship gods who are far off. We don't worship a God who is far off. The Christian life is about living in the presence of the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit. And for many people, and sometimes for those who have been around churches for many years, that can sound surprising. Some people know Christianity very well indeed, but haven't yet discovered that God is near. They know prayers, they know hymns, they know when to stand or sit or kneel during the services. And they can make tea for 60 people with one kettle and half a pack of rich tea biscuits. Amazing people. But deep down, many people in churches everywhere might still be feeling spiritually alone. But in verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I think many people live as spiritual orphans, trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. And after a while, it's tiring doing that. Because Christianity without the Holy Spirit becomes dry. It becomes like a dead religion. And we end up trying to please God with our busyness or our moral efforts. But Christianity is not about following rules or trying to win God's favor. It's never about that. It's about celebrating Jesus and his presence with us. Now notice in verse 15, Jesus says, and that's how we started the reading, if you love me, keep my commands. He doesn't say, if you fear me, you must obey me. But if you love me, keep my commands. Love comes first. Because our obedience to Christ is based on our relationship with him. Jesus here is describing a life with him that is formed and shaped from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then aligns our wills with the will of Jesus. And obedience then becomes much less arduous, much easier, when our wills become aligned with the will of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. It becomes easier to be obedient to Christ. Let me illustrate this. Some of you will remember the olden days, right? When cars were proper cars, with proper engines. They had four cylinders with accessible spark plugs. Remember those days? The guys amongst us anyway. And if one of your spark plugs went, you could still drive with three functioning cylinders. It would be rough as anything, but you could still get to where you wanted to go, either home or to a garage, to change that spark plug. I think trying to follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit is a bit like a four-cylinder engine trying to run on three cylinders. That's what it feels like to me. I remember a young man who had been in church for years, ever since he was tiny. And he knew the hymns. He knew all the prayers. He knew the liturgy inside out, off by heart. And he knew the rhythm of church life. But one time, someone sat alongside him and prayed simply, Come, Holy Spirit. And after a while, that young man had tears in his eyes because he knew for the first time in his life that God was real and that God was near. And that's definitely a true story, because that young man was me. And since then, all those years ago, I've known countless people who have simply said that prayer for themselves while sitting quietly on their own, maybe at home in the countryside. And they prayed that prayer and waited for a while and then experienced the presence of the promised Holy Spirit. It's a simple prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, Jesus says, on that day, on the day the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and upon all of us, on that day, he says, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. That's amazing. He says, I am in you. So the Christian life is taking part in the life of God himself because of his presence within us. That's why St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ far away, but Christ in you by the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Poured out. Not rationed, not sprinkled by some nervous angels, but poured out generously by God himself. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is one of the greatest promises of Christianity, that the life of Jesus, the life of the risen Savior, can become alive in ordinary people like us. People with worries, people with regrets, people who lose patience in Tesco's car park, ordinary, everyday people. And perhaps some people today are thinking that God feels distant. Then hear those words of Jesus once again from verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans, he says. So if God feels distant, the answer is not to try harder. Please don't do that. The answer is to become more open, to say, come Holy Spirit, and reveal the person of Jesus to me. That was the most important prayer ever prayed for me or by me. And it's the most important prayer that any of us ever pray sometimes. Because God does not want us to just be informed about him. He wants us to know him as he knows us. And perhaps that's the challenge for all of us here today. The challenge is not, are you religious enough? The challenge is, are you living in relationship with the living Christ? Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.